Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And the topic today is the psychotic executioner, Hangman John C. Woods. John C. Woods was an executioner for the U.S. Army, and in that capacity, he was in charge of hanging Nazi war criminals back in the 1940s. And we're going to talk about his life. He was a bizarre individual. We're going to talk about his deeds, but before we do, let me remind you that we are a true crime comedy adult podcast. We use adult language. So if adult language offends you,
go fuck yourself.
Or you could
Just hit the fucking door right now. Take your narrow little minded ass out of here. What? If you can't handle a little bit of profanity, you know what? Some people just have very narrow vocabularies, Timmy.
Is that why we use the language we use? And remember, we don't have brandy here, so we probably don't even have to give this warning.
Actually, yeah, we don't have the foul mouth sailor. The foul mouth sailor over here.
Yes, yes. Brandy is taking a well-deserved vacation, Colonel.
You know, Timmy, without the devil, you know what it seems like?
What?
Do you know how when, like, Sam Harris and Ben Shapiro, they have these intellectual debates?
Yes.
That's kind of like me and you without the devil here.
Oh, you think she brings down the
She lowers the bar. She dumbs things down quite a bit, Timmy.
The level of discourse.
Oh, hell yeah. You can't have a civil discourse with a woman because she's hostile all the time.
Well, we do hope we do wish her success in her sobriety.
Yeah.
She's probably clean now for probably 45 minutes or so.
Well, yeah, and she made it up all the way to a two-hour chip the other day.
So she's doing well. Mm-hmm. So Brandy will be back with us next week. But until then,
unfortunately, I know. You know what? We have I don't know how many listeners we had.
I think there was a moan there.
But 80% of them went,
All right. Well, let me introduce my co-host. He's a man of a few words, but he uses the words he does use. He is very articulate. He is a man, unlike myself, is a man who is considered, he's been called the most dangerous man in podcasting. He has also been referred to as an oasis in the desert of despair. In these troubling times, he is someone we can all turn to for comfort. He is known for his high moral standards. In fact, I think you're still planning on having the revival, right?
I am going to have the revival
at DweebCon this year. So those
that's going to be a little tent revival. There's going to be plenty of laying on the hands, Timmy.
And if you're coming to DweebCon, you'll get a chance not only to hang out with us, but you also get he's doing some soul saving.
Oh, these people on the Dweebs page need some soul saving
on our Facebook page. Yeah,
yeah.
They're in need of your moral guidance?
Oh, they're in need of exorcisms and everything else, Timmy.
Let me introduce the one, the only. The Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
Well, see, I thought you'd be happy today because
I'm happy because the devil's not here, but I'm not good because I realize I've been missing out on a big opportunity all this time.
What was that?
Well, I look up on my Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm. This morning. You on Twitter?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. So I look up on my Twitter feed, and I see that our president is, you know, talking to another country and kind of being a little harsh with them, right? But they got it coming, so, you know, what better way than
Iran?
Send them a tweet. Yes. Straighten your ass up. You know, tired of this nonsense. But see, a long time ago, Timmy, I bought a little plot of land in Eastern Europe.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's small. It's not big.
Was it like fit in your hand or?
No, it's, you know, got a little castle on it.
Okay.
A small castle. Tiny home castle.
Yes.
That the devil would hate. And it's called Halkovia, is what it is.
Halkovia.
And I realized all this time I could be tweeting out messages to other countries too, because I do have a sovereign place.
Oh, well, you could, you know.
But I'm told Canada straighten ass out.
You're always picking on Canada. You know, they just had a big meetup in Canada, in Toronto, with our friends from Canadian True Crime, Christy Lee, and Nina was up there. And, you know, all of our friends are up there, like Shirley Strap. You know, you love Shirley.
Shirley's iffy at best to me.
Wait a minute. Well, you know, Clark lives in Minnesota. That's almost Canada.
Oh, don't say that to Clark. Don't say that to Clark.
He doesn't consider himself Canadian.
He does not.
Nearly Canadian.
Clark is 100% American. But Nina's up there now.
Yeah.
Or she was. She's in Toronto. I don't know if she left back yet. Yeah. Toronto's not really part of Canada, Timmy.
You don't like Toronto, do you?
I don't. But they had the shooting up there, and that's a horrible thing.
We hope everyone is safe.
To see that, but I do hope that Nina had a good time. And you know, people probably weren't mean to Nina.
No. How could you be mean to her? She's very sweet. Or Christy Lee.
Well, Christy Lee's from Toronto. She's one of the mean people, Timmy.
But I think she's from Australia, isn't she?
Yeah, but she's been in Toronto long enough to be mean.
You know, while we're thinking about it, I would like to give a couple of shout-outs. Right now, Leanne is in Rome, Italy.
Leanne Flanagan?
Yes.
Oh, so I hope, little Irish girl in Rome.
Hope she's having a good time. I'd like to say hi to my friend Caro in Germany. I probably screwed up her name, but thank you for listening. And I wanted to give a shout out to the ladies on the podcast called How Not to Raise a Little Hitler. I was on their show last week, and it was a lot of fun. So,
you know, okay, Timmy, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I do two podcasts.
You do, yes.
Ain't nobody ever asking me to be on it. And I have co-hosts.
Uh-huh.
Nobody ever asked me to be on their show.
So you're putting out a call to all the podcasters out there to invite you.
On the other one, the rants, everybody, when they want somebody, they always want Karen.
Well, yeah.
And on this show, they always want you.
Karen is lovely.
She's a little bit of a devil, too.
You got some strong women as your co-host. On this podcast.
Let's use that to describe them, Timmy. Strong women.
Yes. Yes. I know you are very, you're a feminist, I know. You're a very pro-woman.
I'm very pro-woman, Timmy.
And you're pro-breast.
I'm very pro-breast. My son, I like to have my kids go in every once in a while to a doctor for a psychiatric doctor for a tune-up every once in a while.
Well, that's always...
And the way to get Taylor to go to one, is you pick the absolute best looking one you can find.
Oh, and then he's on board.
And he'll go. He's all on board with going there. He doesn't care. They can give him Halcyon or whatever kind of psych med. He don't care.
As long as she's got breasts.
As long as she's good looking.
Yeah. Well, I can't blame him there.
Yeah.
We're going to try something a little different this time, Colonel. We're going to alternate in reading the script. So I'm going to read page one. You're going to read page two. I'm just telling that. So, because, you know, a lot of our listeners, you know, they're kind of used to how we're doing this podcast. And if we do something different, it might, you know.
It's kind of time to step out of your box, listeners.
Yes.
And plus, we don't have the devil stumbling her way through a script that she wasn't even prepared for.
Yeah. And playing games on her phone. And, you know, thinking of
smoking cigarettes, drinking beer.
Thinking of her economics professor.
I know. She's still, they're friends on Facebook.
I know. And she gets a lot of, you know, empathy from our listeners. And I don't know.
I don't know why either, Timmy. Just imagine if you could have slept your way through law school.
Man, I would have got better grades for sure.
Yeah, well, she only got a C.
She might have done better if she didn't sleep.
That's what I said. If she would just left a man alone, she might have got. She probably wasn't going to get a B anyway. I mean, she's.
But you know, she won't listen to this podcast, so we can say anything we want about her.
But I mean, in fairness, you know, a C. I mean, I really don't see a Nobel Prize in the devil's future anytime soon. You know,
so are you questioning her intellectual ability?
Well, I'm just saying she has a vast vocabulary of vulgar words.
Yes, she does. If that was a clear indication of intelligence, then she would be off the charts.
She would be off the charts.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't see her.
She's very popular. People like her, and they're coming to DweebCon just to meet Brandy.
Yeah, those people scare me, Tim.
They need you. They need your. They need to come to.
They need a moral compass.
They need to come to the Colonel's revival.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Colonel, we're going to talk about this executioner guy, this psychotic executioner. We always get these strange stories when it's just me and you, because I try to, you know, I don't. Brandy likes all the murder and mayhem.
Well, she likes blood, guts, and gore, and she likes that in her own house.
Right. So we try to, when it's you and I, we try to raise the bar.
We try to intellectualize a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So we're gonna. Is anything else going on that we need to know about your life?
My boy Tan. I'm losing one. One's moving to Los Angeles this week. Tanner is.
Oh, is he?
And okay. Yeah. But Taylor's coming home this weekend, so that's going to be fun.
Oh, that's good.
And I'm trying to convince the youngest to move back into the house.
And he lives here in Cincinnati.
He lives here in Cincinnati, and I keep telling him, look at all the benefits. You can come and go as you want. You can come and...
Yeah, you don't have to pay rent.
Well, basically, Timmy, I don't have to deal with his mother so much.
Oh, I see. Home. I see.
I got Rudy as a buffer now, but he's starting to wear down, and he's starting to, like, I don't want to get involved in this shit. And sometimes you come in, you don't even know where Rudy is. He's hiding.
No,
he's like,
I don't want to get involved. He doesn't want
involved,
huh?
Yeah, but Logan creates enough mayhem that...
I see. So it's for your own selfish purposes you want him to move back home.
Exactly.
I got you. John C. Woods, Colonel... developed a career of killing bad people, and he did it badly.
Well, if you're going to kill bad people, you should do it badly.
Well, he did. He was thrust into the world spotlight at the end of World War II. When he became known as the Hangman of Nuremberg, he was responsible for hanging 10 Nazi war criminals. Several of them died not by broken necks, as would be expected, By slow strangulation, Colonel. He wasn't the best at his job, I guess we could say. So we're going to talk about him. He was kind of a buffoon. And he was...
If I'm going to get hung, I don't want a buffoon to do it.
Yeah. Well, they said that like when he was hanging him, he didn't set it up properly. So as they pulled the... as they pulled the switch, the trap door opened... they hit their head on the platform.
Well, you know, you got to time this just right because there's an art to it, they say, that you take in the weight and everything into account and the distance. And if you don't do it right, if you give too much distance and they gather too much speed, it just pops the head off like a cicada.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've never seen it happen to a human, but you know, with a cicada, if you pull their heads off, their arms come off too.
Right.
Be cool to see if that happened to a human. But if you don't get all enough length, they just dance there for a while.
Yeah.
Which if they're bad people, dancing on the end of a rope wouldn't be a bad thing to watch.
Well, I think out of these 10 Nazis that he was responsible for hanging, I think like six of them, it was botched with six of them. So.
Could you imagine?
It was 40%.
If he had to hang Carl Panzram.
Oh, man. He was grumpy, wasn't he?
Come on, you dumb kraut bastard. I could have killed everybody.
Oh, my God.
He's my favorite one still.
All right. Hanging. I know. He's your favorite serial killer. Hanging was virtually a universal method of execution, Colonel, in America up to the 1890s, and was the sole form permitted by the original Constitution. But you didn't know that, did you?
I did not, Timmy.
A few states used... firing squads during the 19th century, notably California and Utah, and most of, or I'm sorry, California and Oklahoma, and most of Utah executions from 1852 were, since 1852, were by firing squad. Hanging became progressively less common, commonly used in the 20th century, as many states adopted the electric chair or the gas chamber as alternatives because they were considered more humane. However, there were 2,718 hangings between 1900 and 1967.
That's a lot of hangings.
That, it really is a lot.
That they was well hung back then,
they,
Jimmy.
They really were. And this is, of course, these are official hangings through the justice system. This has nothing to do with, you know, all the lynchings and things that occurred. So just imagine if you added those in there.
Now, lynchings, I'm not down with, Timmy.
Lynchings are just not. That's not nice.
Well, it really depends on who's being lynched.
Well,
because I'll tell you who needs to be lynched.
Who's that?
There's a bunch of people that need to be lynched, okay, Timmy. First.
But just mean not because of their ethnicity, right?
Oh, no. It has much more to do with their behavior.
Personality.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, people who back into parking spots in a parking lot,
you should
just yank them out of the car, string them up.
What people who can't parallel park?
Oh, those people that just tie up traffic forever and then just keep going back and forth and back and forth. And it's like, dude, you're getting no closer. Why can you not understand? Why can you not understand you're not getting any closer?
So they should be lynched.
They could probably be lynched. You know, Timmy, I was.
What about members of Team Brandy?
No, they could use a good thrashing, Timmy.
Thrashing, just
a
thrashing.
Good thrashing. Yeah, some electric shock.
You wouldn't go
shock.
As far as lynching them. But.
No, I could. It'd be like the Crusades, Timmy. We try to convert them.
I see.
It'd be
I
a
see.
Convert or die
just,
thing.
Just put bricks on them until they pledge allegiance to Team
the
Colonel.
Team Colonel.
I got you.
Yeah. And I'll tell you who else, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
People who go, tell me.
You need to bring back stoning, you know.
Stoning would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Stoning would be a good thing.
It'd be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, it would. Yeah, well, it's getting the right size stone is so hard,
yeah.
Timmy. But if you could get, okay, you go into Costco.
Right.
And they got all these people with the samples.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And actually, we were talking about my other co-host, Karen. She's been banned from Costco because she has.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like three times for samples when she likes to. She actually eats lunch at Costco on the samples.
I see.
But when people go to the deli
and
they say, okay, do you want, you know, I want a half pound of ham.
Right.
Do you want the Virginia cured ham? Do you want, and they're like, well, let me try a slice of the Virginia. Let me try a slice of the smoke. No.
Lynching.
The hell? It's ham. Just throw a rope around them because you know what? They're always number 75 when you're number 76.
Yeah.
It's just like, buy your damn ham and get the hell out of here.
Oh,
American
okay.
cheese.
I don't like places where you have to take number. You know it's going to be a long fucking wait. If you go to a place where you have to take a number.
Well, you know what I like is there's a restaurant down here that you have to take a number to get a carryout sandwich.
Uh-huh.
And you know how many times I take the number one, Timmy? I'm the only some bitch in the store. Why do I have to take a number?
I love when I'm like number seven and there's no one else in there.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And they start calling all the numbers, looking around.
Yeah.
Standing there.
And you hold it up like you just won the damn lottery or
yeah,
something.
Like, it's me.
Yeah,
it's me.
It's my turn. My turn.
It is exciting. When they call your name.
And this actually happened to me. These people should be lynched.
Okay.
Now, I'm at the store and it was a dollar store because I had to get it some wrapping paper.
Yeah.
So that's where you buy wrapping paper, whatever. So I'm in a dollar store. No, Timmy, I'm sorry. No, I broke my reading glasses.
Okay.
So I had to run. I ran to the dollar store so I wouldn't, you know, I got other
ones
at home.
Is this the dollar reading glasses that you break out of to make people think that you're angry?
No, I actually needed these.
Oh, okay.
But the woman in front of me, Timmy, spent $47 at the dollar store. Now, she should have been lynched. That's fine, all right?
$47.
Now, there's a woman behind me that's got another full cart, okay? Now, I'm waiting for this woman. She's loading her stuff up. And then they realize, okay, the line's getting long.
Mm-hmm.
And another cashier goes to open it up.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, I could help who's next in line. Now, I'm next in line.
Right.
But another woman with 39 items in a goddamn cart starts to make a beeline to be the first to be ahead of me. And I have to stop. No, I finally stopped and looked at her. I said, are you fucking kidding me? I got one fucking item. Could you just wait a second? And she looked at me and said, I was going to let you go. I said, no, you weren't. You were racing like it was a goddamn Indy 500 to get over to that spot. I got one fucking item. Could you just let me go? Jesus Christ. Those people should have been, she needed to be lynched. There should be somebody that just walks around with a rope all the time.
In Asia, they don't have the same, I guess it's a cultural thing, but they don't recognize, you know, lines. So you're like going up to a 7-Eleven or something and get ready to pay for something. Someone will push right in front of you. It's just like, it's a, you know, they don't recognize it in their culture, I guess. But anyway, since 1622 to present day, they've been more than 9,320 people who've been executed by judicial hangings. So that's a lot. Majority of the hangings have been for murder. Although between 1800 and 1961, 487 men were hanged for rape in 23 different states, which is a good thing.
Yeah, well, they should always be hung.
Yes, yeah. And the last one was a guy named John Bennett. He was arrested and convicted of rape in Kansas in 1961. He was the last person to be officially executed for rape in the United States. Up to the end of the 19th century, hangings were mostly local events and not always reported. So I guess they didn't want to do paperwork.
Yeah. Right. Just hanging, throwing in a dumpster.
Hanging often led to slow and cruel death as a prisoner strangled on the rope. And this led to the invention of the electric chair, which was first used in New York State in 1891. And it became the most widely used method in the 20th century. At one point, it was used by 27 different states. And Nevada introduced the gas chamber in 1921, and it was ultimately used by 11 states. But then that kind of fell out of favor after the Holocaust, and they got rid of the gas chambers. I don't think there's any state that still uses the gas chamber. I don't think so. But hanging remains a lawful option. To lethal injection in the state of Washington, where the prisoners may choose to be hanged, and also in New Hampshire. So if you want to be hanged, Colonel, those are the two states you want to check out.
If you
want
to be hung, yeah. Go to New Hampshire.
I don't know about being hung. The first recorded hanging in America was for a guy named Daniel Frank in Virginia for cattle stealing. He stole some cattle.
Oh, some bitch.
He was hanged on March 1st, 1622.
I knew you could get hung for stealing horses.
Yeah, but where you go. That was I didn't know they did a lot of cattle rustling back in 1622, but I guess they did.
Yeah, they only had like four cows. It ain't like you. No, that's been mine. That's my cow.
Yeah, they stood out. The first hanging for murder.
Were those people all Puritans?
Yeah,
I think so.
The first hanging for murder took place in Plymouth, Massachusetts on September 30th, 1630. A guy named John Billington, who had come over on the Mayflower, he was executed for shooting another settler. Yeah, they didn't have too many people, so they had to really come down on murder. They didn't have that many pilgrims over here at that point. The earliest recorded female hanging was that of a woman named Jane Champion in 1632 in Virginia, and that was for adultery, Colonel. And I know you frowned on adultery.
It depends on the situation, Timmy, I guess.
The youngest person ever hanged in the United States was a woman or a girl named Hannah Osh, who was 12 years old and 9 months. Boy, that's young. And was described as a Native American girl. Well, of course, they weren't going to hang a little white girl, I guess.
Yeah, that's...
She was executed in Connecticut on December 20th. Oh, Merry fucking Christmas. In 1786.
And just to be clear to me, it's not so much adultery, it's adulting. I'm opposed to.
You opposed to anything you have to
anything
do?
Anything that has to do with adulting, I don't like, Timmy.
Well, give us some more information on this hanging, Colonel.
Well, Timmy, in the 40-year period between 1926 and 1965, 675 hangings, including those of five females. You know they had it coming.
That's what I mean. That should be more even now, because you know women are troubled.
Oh, goddamn right they are. Burn my meatloaf, some bitch. You're going to dance from the end of a rope. But, Five females. Now that see, women are all for equality. All right, you want it to be, you want equality. That should have been 337 and a half female hangings, Timmy. I guess you get a really short woman or something. But yeah, they don't want equality when it comes to hanging.
Well, I don't blame them. I wouldn't know. I don't blame them for that.
But these were recorded in 30 states. And the last hanging prior to suspension. Now, that's a good turn of words. Turn of phrase there.
You like that?
Suspension of the death penalty.
You like that, huh?
As opposed to hanging, which is death penalty by suspension, Timmy.
Yes. Well, so, they stopped the death penalty. What was 1970, I think? 71.
Now, the last hangings took place at Kansas State Penitentiary in Lansing, and on June 22nd, when George Ronald York and Douglas Latham, both age 22, were executed for the murders of seven people in a violent rampage while they were serving in the Army, as opposed to one of those just, you know, nonviolent rampages where you kill seven people.
Right.
Now, Latham was hanged first at 10:24 and certified dead 15 minutes later. York followed, and he took 19 minutes to die. Not a fun way to go.
No. Now, 19 minutes, that's a long time.
It is.
Hanging by the end of a rope.
It is, isn't it? 2 months earlier, you remember the Clutter family, Timmy, In Cold Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Perry Smith and Richard Eugene Hickok were hanged in the same prison.
I think that was from the book, In Cold Blood.
From the book, mm-hmm. Made into a film.
Yeah.
Made into actually a very tremendous album by Bruce Springsteen, Nebraska. I recommend our listeners listen to that.
Yeah, I forgot he did that. Who did the? Who wrote that book?
Truman Capote,
yeah, that's right.
Now, the last hanging in Utah, Timmy, was somewhat unusual in that the condemned man, Barton K. Kirkham, and if I had that name, I'd probably hang myself, had chosen hanging over the firing squad because he would get more publicity and it would put the state to more inconvenience.
He's just been an asshole, basically. Yeah.
Oh, so you know he's going to dance for a while. Took him 78 minutes to die. No, I don't know.
Oh, man.
But he was 21 years old. He was put to death on June 27th.
That's young. That's pretty young.
Not young. Old enough to kill somebody, old enough to dance, Timmy.
I guess. What was that guy who, remember he died by firing squad in Utah?
Gary Gilmore.
Yeah.
Gary Gilmore, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, he was sentenced for a double killing. Now, the gallows had a ramp up to the platform rather than steps, and Kirkham, who reportedly weighed 200 pounds, was given a drop of 6 feet.
That's a pretty big drop, Colonel.
Yeah, that's a little more that could have ripped his head right off. Now, protocols for hanging have varied widely depending on state and country in which the hanging took place. And in most states during the 19th century and early part of the 20th, the sheriff, in which the defendant was sentenced, officiated as a hangman, but was seldom good at it as they typically carried out so few executions.
Yeah, it takes a lot of practice, I guess, too.
Yeah, this led to a lot of bunglings where the length of drop was not calculated correctly. But, Timmy.
Yeah, math is hard.
Oh, my bad.
Damn, there goes another head.
Well, or when this son of a bitch just hits the ground so hard he breaks his legs.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oops, made the rope a little too long there. Just winch him back up and let him dangle.
I guess what they do in that situation, he falls all the way to the ground, they have to go through it again?
You know, I think you could just pull the rope up through the pulley, and here's how I'd hang people,
okay.
Timmy.
Okay.
Colonel Justice
is a little bit different.
That you hang people's just to their tippy toes. So if they stand on their tippy toes,
they'll reach.
Yeah, they stand on their tippy toes. Eventually, they're going to get calf fatigue, Timmy.
It might get a leg cramp, too.
And a horrible leg cramp.
Get Charlie horse right before the string. That's cruel and unusual there.
They got it coming. If they're getting hung, they got it coming. So that's what you do. You just string them up just enough so they're on their tippy toes. And then as they start to get tired, they start to and then they get choked, and then they're like, oh, no, goddamn, I ain't got to be on my calves again. I've been my feet all day.
We should give a disclaimer that although all the people we're talking about here have been hanged, we don't know for sure they were hung. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. Just because you're hanged don't mean you're hung.
Right.
And you can be hung without being hanged.
You can. That would be my preference.
I'm gonna pick door number two.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, Timmy, along came the professional hangman.
Yay.
Yeah. And most because of, you know, the sheriff's not getting it right. And perhaps the most notable hangman was George Mallardin, who officiated at Fort Smith, Arkansas, and hanged 86 men, often in batches of six at a time. Just like
he was
cookies.
He was done in bulk. He was like,
well, that's how
he was like Costco, man.
Yeah, you save money the more you do it.
Sam's Club or something.
Well, because why buy a short length of rope when you're going to just, no, just give me a bunch of rope so I can.
That's true. But then you used to, have you ever heard, like, I've heard that, and this is not true, but I there used to be this false story going around saying if they tried to execute you and they couldn't execute you one time, that, you know, they wouldn't be allowed to execute you.
There's no, they get mulligans.
Yeah, they do
get
mulligans.
They get do-overs, Timmy.
They do. What else you got, Colonel?
Well, then we get into the professional and we got that George Mallardin, right?
Right.
And he was hanging people in batches of six at a time.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, he was efficient.
He was.
Except it took him an hour and a half to die.
Hang in bulk.
Here's the way you should do it, Timmy.
Uh-huh.
That real heavy fishing line,
mm-hmm.
and then since they're all men, wrap it around the testiculars real good and the genitalia,
mm-hmm.
and then toss them off the edge with the hands tied behind
the
head.
In Germany during World War II, Night of the Long Knives,
yes.
where Hitler killed his political.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Enemies.
Yeah.
They supposed to hunt. Oh, no. This was after the attempted assassination.
Oh, after, yeah.
They hung him with piano wire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's not the way to go.
No.
Because that'll cut your head right off.
Yeah, that wouldn't be cool.
But anyway, in other places, the hangman could be the warden of the prison or a volunteer from the prison guards. And you know that sick son of a bitch. Oh, I do it.
When the volunteer is the one you don't want doing it.
Because you know the guy who volunteers when he does it, he's going to have a boner when he's pulling the rope.
You think Amber Croup would volunteer for that duty?
You know, fucking Amber. Am I the only one? And listeners, you know I ain't lying when I say this. When your phone goes off and it's an Amber Alert, is the first thing that goes through your mind is
Amber Croup.
Who pissed off Amber now?
Might be.
Or Amber's within a 100-mile radius of me. Take cover.
Yes.
But anyway, other states such as Utah, they had three unnamed prison guards who would, on a signal from the warden, simultaneously cut three strings, one of which released the trap. So it's kind of like putting a dummy bullet in a gun. Nobody knew who hung them.
So they wouldn't know who was actual responsible for
it. And it was a closely guarded secret there, Timmy, so nobody would know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, now one American hangman went on to become president, Timmy.
Who was that, Colonel?
Grover Cleveland.
Grover Cleveland.
How'd you like to hang his fat ass? But he was a sheriff of Erie in 1870s and hanged 28-year-old Peter Morrissey for murder. A few months later, on February, he officiated at another murderer, Jack Gaffney, and Cleveland was elected president of the United States in 1884.
It's a career path, Colonel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, perhaps the most notorious American hangman was Master Sergeant John C. Woods. He's the topic of our podcast today. He was also America's most prolific hangman, being employed as the U.S. military executioner, and he was responsible for the hanging of 10 of the leading Nazi war criminals at Nuremberg Germany in 1946. James Woods was reputed to have carried out a staggering, and this is according to him, he claims he has executed 347 people. But they think maybe he was, like, exaggerating. But, you know, he was responsible for hanging soldiers that committed capital offenses while, you know, being part of the occupying force. So he was not only hanged Nazis, he also hanged and war criminals. He also hanged American soldiers who committed capital offenses. Anyway, he was born in 1911, Colonel. He was abandoned by his parents. Which,
of course, yeah.
And which, as we go on and tell this story, you will not blame his parents. He was raised by his grandparents in a small town in Kansas, right outside of Wichita. Little Johnny hated school and fought with his grandparents every day about going to class. His classmates would make fun of him and call him Weird Johnny. He often wet himself during class.
Pissy Johnny. Because you never forget that kid who pissed on himself in school. No matter, that son of a bitch could grow up and be an astronaut, but you're always going to remember him as a kid who pissed himself in
worse,
the second
man.
Grade.
It's like, oh, Johnny, yeah, he's an astronaut. Yeah, I went to school with him. He pissed himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When he was just 7 years old, Colonel, he poured gasoline along the exterior of his small one-room schoolhouse and lit it on fire with a match. 7 years old. Class was in session at the time.
What the fuck?
Although everyone got out safely, several children were treated for smoke inhalation. So here he's at seven. He's trying to burn down his school. Not to be deterred, when he was 9 years old.
Oh, he was deterred, all right, Timmy. He was a big turd. He was deterred.
When he was nine, he set fire again to the schoolhouse during the summer break.
God damn. What do you got to do to get expelled from that school?
Since no one was at the school at the time to report the fire, it burned to the ground. So they lost their whole school because of Johnny. Johnny was a little asshole, Colonel.
Yeah, he was deterred.
After the second incident, Johnny was transferred to a nearby military school because it was believed he needed discipline. Wow, that was a stretch.
A little bit, yeah.
He hated his new school. Oh, well, there's a surprise.
He tried to burn it down.
And by the age of 11, he tried to blow it up by stealing some dynamite from a local railroad company. He was caught as he was planting the dynamite outside the school building. Had he been successful, they said he would have killed over 100 children.
But, Jesus Christ.
But they caught him before he was able to detonate the dynamite.
We'd be doing a whole different podcast.
Yeah, we would. He was evaluated by a psychologist and sent to reform school, Colonel, after that last incident. At reform school, here's a surprise, he got into more trouble.
Oh, he didn't get reformed.
He was finally released.
He got reformed, but it was a worse form than he walked in.
He was finally released after 1 year. During his time at reform school, he tried to burn down the facility at least three times. It was believed he was released for the safety of the staff. So they just said, hell with you. You're released. Yeah. Go do something else. Anywhere but here. His grandparents agreed to let him drop out of high school at the age of 14. A smart move. They felt that would help prevent him from getting into further trouble, Colonel. And here's a shock. It didn't work because he would continue to get in trouble. Johnny was arrested 26 times for petty crimes between 1924 and 1926. The most serious charge was attempted murder as he tried to choke to death a 15-year-old soda jerk because the soda jerk told Johnny the store was out of peppermint. That charge was eventually dropped when the victim was...
It was dropped. You're running a soda thing and you're out of peppermint. You need to get strangled.
Yeah, that's being a soda jerk must have been a dangerous job back in the day.
You know, I go down to one of my stores here down at the market, Timmy. Mm-hmm. They were out of chicken salad to make a sandwich.
Oh, that's not good.
No, Timmy, they're known. They have the thing hanging in the thing, Cincinnati's best chicken salad. They went in Cincinnati every year. They win no award. How the hell do you run out of chicken salad?
Dude, I went to KFC one time. They was out of chicken. And I was like, what?
So what are you, Kentucky Fried Mashed Potatoes now?
Yeah, like, isn't that, you know. All right. So I'm sorry to hear that. But anyway, he tried to kill this soda jerk. You know, poor soda jerk, 15 years old, just trying to earn some money, for beer money or something. But anyway, the soda jerk was too scared to testify against Johnny, so the charges were dropped. So after struggling to find work, now remember he's dropped out of high school, Johnny joined the Navy in 1927, only to find out following orders apparently wasn't for him, Colonel. He requested to be released from the Navy after 3 days of basic training. When his commanding officer refused to grant his request, Johnny attempted to burn down his barracks. Well, he's more trouble in his work. But he really is.
This is actually the guy you need on like special forces. Like.
Yeah, yeah. He's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, you know what you need to do is you need to get Johnny in ISIS. Is what you need to do, and he'd be like, "I don't want to get up early."
Yeah,
and go
you
get
want
the
him on the you want him on the other side.
Yeah, you want him to like. Okay, it's time to go out and get the infidels at 7 a.m. And Johnny's like, I don't want to get up at 7 a.m. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, Johnny's burning down ISIS's headquarters. Yeah. Problem solved.
He's a psychopath. So he was at least two occasions when he tried to burn down his commanding officer's barracks. Each time the fire was put out before any serious damage was done. Hoping to get out of the Navy on a psychological discharge. Oh, here's a good approach.
Mm-hmm. He was trying that Klinger approach.
Yeah, though. Johnny declared himself a homosexual and tried to French kiss his commanding officer. I guess it's the same one he tried to murder.
You know, that doesn't work, Timmy.
Yeah, he didn't want to kiss and make up.
I tried to get out of jury duty like that one time.
Never
it
happened.
Didn't work, no.
Johnny was thrown in the brig for 37 days. And then he was eventually released after he got out, and he was released from the Navy. After going he got released from the brig, and then he went AOL, absence without leave. He was caught, and he was then ordered to undergo a psychological evaluation by Navy doctors, and they declared that Johnny was what they called constitutionally psychotic.
And he was dis- much like... missing co-host, Timmy.
Exactly. So he was released. What did the evaluation say about our friend Johnny?
Well, it said the patient in this world, in a word, is odd, Timmy. Well, though not intellectually inferior, he gives history of a repeatedly running count. I'm sorry. Let me start that over,
okay.
Timmy. The patient, in a word, is odd. Though not intellectually inferior, like our co-host who's not here.
Young Brandy.
Gives a history of repeatedly running counter to authority both before and since enlistment. Stigmata of generation are present, and the patient frequently bites his fingernails and wets the bed. Now, I can't say that for sure about our co-host, but he has a benign tumor of the soft palate for which he refuses operation. His commanding officer and division officers state that he shows inaptitude and does not respond to instruction. Now, who's that remind you of, Timmy?
I'm not saying a word.
Our co-host. Inaptitude does not respond to instruction. He is obviously poor co-host material or service material. I'm sorry, I was thinking about the devil. He's poor co-host material, Timmy. For years, he bounced from one job to another with little success and found himself in a scandalous marriage.
Scandalous.
In which his wife's boyfriend moved into the home.
That is pretty scandalous.
Lucky Johnny didn't burn the whole goddamn house down. Johnny continued his life of crime and was arrested numerous times during the 30s. In the 40s, he was arresting for floating more than $20,000 in bad checks.
Well,
I like that. Back in the 30s is my favorite time. It's like, you're writing bad checks,
Yeah, you could get
dirty
by
rat.
With that
you wrote
back
me a bad check.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah, you could have got hung for that.
It's not too many people get write bad checks anymore, are they? It's not a thing.
Because
you don't write checks anymore. Do you write checks? I write checks, I guess.
I won't write checks. I do know somebody who I'm in line with, mm-hmm. who will write a check occasionally for something, mm-hmm. because they think there's some kind of special award for the person writing a check that day.
Who would that be?
Mrs. Colonel.
Oh, I see.
It's like one of those people, I don't even want to get into it. The other people that should be hung, Timmy,
mm-hmm.
you know who should be hung?
Who's that?
The person in line when they say, that's 78-84,
mm-hmm.
and they pull out the damn debit card,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, but I have the 84 cents. Motherfucker, there ain't some kind of award that you get for having perfect exact change. You know, just use your goddamn debit card for the whole thing. There's not, and nobody's got to open up a register. Nobody got to do anything. What the fuck are people thinking when they do that?
You've had some bad experiences with your fellow
Haven't you seen people do that?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, no, I just want to even, $84 is not an even amount, motherfucker. If you want to make it, how about you give them $4.84? But no. And then they give them, instead of, I got the 84 cents, they give them 85 cents. They got to get a penny back. It's just a nightmare. Just run the shit through your check card.
They should be on the list to be hanged.
The piano wire list there, Timmy.
All right.
So he floats more than $20,000 in bad checks. The judge was not aware of Johnny's Navy career. Gave Johnny the option of joining the military, which was not
all right.
Really,
so he
an
was
option.
Kicked out. He was he
got kicked out of the military.
Yeah, he got kicked out of the Navy, mm-hmm. and now he's back in trouble again.
And the judge says you can join the Navy if you like, but they don't know about Johnny's old career there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Prairie records keeping wasn't very good back in the day.
No, so Johnny agreed to go back into the military, Timmy, and volunteer in the Army as a combat engineer.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, his dishonorable discharge from the Navy apparently went undetected.
That's what I'm telling you. They didn't have good record keeping.
No, they did not. They did not. Johnny seemed to like the Army better. He was determined to make a go of it, and since the U.S. was not involved in World War II, the Army had lowered its standards for recruits.
Yeah, that was like right before our involvement, I think, 1940 or something, when we went back in.
But in 43, he was assigned to Company B. He was the boogie-woogie burning boy of Company B, Timmy. Of the 37th Engineer Combat Battalion and the 5th Engineer Special Brigade. He may have participated in the D-Day landings at Omaha Beach. Not long after, the Army put out a word for an executioner, asking anyone if he had experience. Johnny quickly threw up his hand, saying, oh, hell yeah, I did that before. Not liking his combat role, Johnny quickly volunteered, telling his commanding officer he had his experience as a hangman back home. He was lying. He had an experience as an arsonist. He had an experience as a check kiter. He has experience pissing himself. He has experience doing all kinds of deviant shit. I figured he'd just pick up on the hanging real quick. So
apparently they didn't check the records.
No. Master John C. Woods became one of the few executioner in the Army, Timmy. Now, they had 96 soldiers tried with death penalty cases. It was scheduled for execution in 44 for crimes such as desertion, murder, and rape while U.S. forces were in Africa and Europe. The most famous, remember Private Eddie Slovak, whose story made it into television?
Made it in our podcast as well.
It did, Martin Sheen. Now, some of the soldiers were executed by firing squads, such as Eddie Slovak.
Mm-hmm.
Others were hanged. Mm-hmm. Now, during his tour of duty as a hangman, Johnny reportedly hanged over 1,000 men, most for rape and murder during the Allies' occupation of Europe.
Yeah, I think he was exaggerating that. But he did. I think he said over 100 he did.
Now, the Army reports that he participated in at least 11 bungled hangings. That did not stop the Army from giving him the most high-profile cases in U.S. Army history, Timmy.
Well, I mean, I don't imagine they don't have a lot of executioners, do they?
I don't know. Can you just go sign up to the Army and say I won't be a hangman?
I don't know. I'd give that a go.
I'd give it a shot. I mean, if you're going to put me up on the front line with people shooting my ass, or maybe at the back line hanging rapists and murderers.
Yeah. Sign me up.
Well, during his tour of duty as a hangman, Johnny reportedly hanged over 100 men. But anyway, now he gets put on the most famous of cases, the Nuremberg trials, Timmy.
Yeah, the trial of the top Nazi leaders after the war. They were put on trial for war crimes.
He was in charge of not executing 10 top Nazis. And according to witnesses, Johnny fucked it up bad.
Yeah, so, you know, they had the highest ranking Nazi to be executed was going to be Hermann Göring, right?
Yep.
And he requested,
anybody but Johnny.
He, by the way, was a morphine addict. And when they arrested him, he had like 30,000 pills.
Well, he was an interesting guy because he really didn't much give a fuck about anything but getting rich. He just wanted to get rich and getting stoned, yeah.
Well, he was a World War I hero.
He was a fighter. He was a ace for in World War One.
And he just wasn't the same guy by the time World War II.
He didn't, and you know, people have different views on this, but he didn't even particularly have a thing against the Jews.
Yeah.
He was just looking at this as like,
oh yeah, he was.
This is a big moneymaker for me.
Yeah, he was getting a lot of ill-gotten booty.
Oh yes, he was. He was getting a lot of booty, Timmy.
But he was a morphine addict, and I read where they weaned him off of morphine at Nuremberg after during the trial.
Yeah.
And in the 7 months of the trial, by the time the trial ended, he was completely off morphine.
Yeah.
He was taking like 700 milligrams a day.
Yeah.
And they got him completely off, and he lost, because, you know, he was a big guy. He was a fat guy. And they got him down to, he had lost 70 pounds.
Yeah.
But anyway, he wanted to be shot. He thought that was the proper way to execute a soldier. And they sentenced him to be hanged. And when he requested that he'd be shot instead, when they denied that, he then took
cyanide
tablet.
Which is interesting, because he spent all that time in prison and got the cyanide pill.
Yeah.
You know, why didn't he do it earlier? But
apparently he was going to go along with the execution if he got shot. Yeah.
But he thought that was honorable.
But he didn't want nowhere near Johnny. He questioned Johnny. No, he didn't know.
Nine.
Well, he didn't know that, but yeah. that probably would have clinched his decision. He's probably glad he made that decision to bite the
better than dealing with Johnny.
Yeah, but anyway, the executions were carried out in a brightly lit prison gymnasium, where three looming black wooden gallows had been erected. I said erected, yeah.
See, if you would have said erected with the devil over here, she'd immediately tried to cut it off.
Her ears would have perked up. And was witnessed by a handful of military officials and eight journalists. A number of the hanged Nazis did not die quickly of a broken neck, which is what was intended, but they died a slow, agonizing death from slow strangulation.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. According to reports, Foreign Minister von Ribbentrop, who was like one of the top Nazi officials to be executed, his execution took more than 18 minutes.
That's a long time.
After he was hanged, he twisted slowly and choked to death in front of the witnesses. That's not a good way to go. Johnny wasn't really on his... When it appeared he was not going to die quickly, Johnny stopped the proceedings. He drew a black curtain around the scaffolding and could be heard choking von Ribbentrop by his hands. So he pulls his curtain so no one can seize him.
They get into a fist fight back there.
He's choking this guy. Well, it worked. He died eventually. The same was true with the execution of Julius Streicher, who was the editor of the Nazis' newsletter. It's the newspaper, but, you know, that's something to put on your resume. Editor of the Nazi newsletter. But anyway, he was a propagandist, and he was hanged. And once again, he wasn't dying, so Johnny had to draw the black curtain around the scaffolding. Well, all these witnesses are standing there. And he started strangling him, but apparently Stryker wouldn't give up very easily, and he could be heard behind this curtain. This had to be hilarious watching these idiots behind the curtain. He could be heard under the curtain calling Johnny a son of a whore before eventually going silent.
You son of a whore, get that from me. Johnny needed to bring a goddamn knife with him.
Yeah, Johnny, he wasn't the best hangman. Of the top 10 Nazis hanged by Johnny, only two went relatively smoothly. Post-execution photos indicate the trapdoor mechanism was flawed, and several of the condemned men hit the door with their face as they plummeted down. That's had to be humiliating
painful.
Newspapers all over the world covered the executions, making Johnny famous overnight. I don't think they picked up on, you know, the botched executions, but Johnny became kind of became popular overnight. He seemed to love the publicity and would often embellish his experience. That's why I said earlier, when he was given, you know, he said he hanged over 1,000 men. He also gave the number 347 during his total tour of duty in Europe. But the Army's records found the number was really somewhere between 67 and 100, which is still a lot.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder how many of those he fucked up.
But, I'm sure a lot of them.
For years, he would get requests for photos and autographs from all over the world. He was still in the Army, and he was selling 8x10 photos of himself. Until the Army put an end to it. They found out about it, and I said, nah, you're not doing that anymore.
Did he have the little black hood over?
I don't know. I don't know. Or did he use Sharpies? I don't know. But anyway, he sold these autographed photos. He remained in the Army.
I'd like to get him before he drops the pulls the trap door, him and the guy getting hung, getting a selfie together.
Like. Yeah, that would have been great. This is the best part, though, Colonel. Johnny remained in the Army after the war and continued his duty as an executioner. So it was decided, because of these botched hangings in Nuremberg, the United States Army decided that they would switch to a more humane method of execution. And that's when the United States Army switched to the electric chair. This meant Johnny had to be retrained, and he was forced to give up his hangman's noose in early 1950 and be trained on this new method. Well, this change turned out to be tragic, Colonel. On July 21st, 1950, while receiving training on the proper use of the electric chair, Master Sergeant John C. Woods was accidentally electrocuted. He died almost immediately in Kansas.
At least he died immediately.
John C. Woods was survived by his wife, Ruth. I don't know about her boyfriend. I don't know if he's done the picture or not. But he was 49 years old at the time of his death. He's buried in a modest cemetery in Toronto, Kansas, a small town just 60 miles east of Wichita. John C. Woods, during his service in the military, received no individual military awards. I thought everyone got some kind of award, like a participation award or something.
Yeah.
Didn't you get something for, like, being in the European theater? Didn't you get, like, some kind of award?
I thought you got the Hangman's Award.
He got nada. He did not get any awards during his service. And his wife died in 2000, also living in Toronto. I don't know about his wife's boyfriend. I don't know what happened there. Yeah. I assume he's still alive.
He's still alive. Setting shit on fire.
All right, Colonel, your final thoughts on the psychotic executioner, hangman John C. Woods.
Well, you know, he went home and slept all night to me.
He did. Yeah. He actually bragged about his role, and it didn't bother him that he botched the executions, because he said they were Nazis and they deserved to suffer, and that's probably true. But you know, you execute somebody, you kind of should do it the right way.
You should do it humanely.
Yeah. So
it depends on what they did.
Yeah. Let's.
They're one of those exact change motherfuckers. They can dangle for a while.
We would like to thank all of you who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little bit to me.
Every little bit helps, and we really do appreciate you guys. And we love all of you who participate on our Facebook page. If you're not a member of our Facebook group, please go to History Dweebs, the podcast, and join our group. A lot of wonderful people there. And everyone is excited. They're getting ready. We're getting ready for DweebCon in October, first weekend of October here in Cincinnati. It's going to be a blast, and we hope that you will join us. Just go to History Dweebs, the podcast, on Facebook for more details. Now, the Colonel is going to give a shout-out to all of our wonderful supporters on Patreon.
Yes, I am. Let's start with Jim Seabright, Timmy. Jim. Then we got Andrew Scammell, Tommy Lane is in my ears and in my... Okay, Jason Dykes, Terry Stratford, Malachi, Brandy McBride.
By the way, people loved our rendition of Midnight Train. They really loved
it. They did. It's still ringing
in people's heads. We might sing that at the...
We may just put on some rayon.
Uh-huh. We'll let Brandy be Gladys Knight and we'll be the piss.
Some mustard orange suits.
Yeah.
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 Woo! Jennifer Savoda, Brandy McBride, Purr,
Westerman, Maggie Glover, Gracie's mom, Erica Kinney, Hyro,
yes,
the Comeback Hyro. Podcast, LK Bar, Anute, Reen, Marissa Albanese, Bridget Clavey, Phyllis Munson, the beautiful Jennifer Riker Smith.
Very beautiful.
And, well, if I say beautiful, I got to give equal treatment here. The exceptionally handsome Stephen Potts.
Yes.
Stephen Potts with those two little girls just tormenting the hell out of them, man. Anna Garrett, Ben Dobrovich, Ursula, Clark and Diane Trowbridge, Bethann Waller, Michelle Johns, Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Jess Lee, and lovely Leanne Flanagan, Julia Rodriguez, Mike Sadler, Jamie Ditt, Tyrone, Marsha Boris, Stacey Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, of course, Amber Anderson, They Walk Among Us, Lorna Violet, Michael Deo, Kelly Charette, Karen Russell Widener, the crazy-ass Callie Jones, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown from Pleasing Terror, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Kimberly Cameron, Elise Edgerton, History Goes Bump, Timmy, the podcast.
Yes, our good friend with Diane Student.
Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Lahara Lopez, Alicia and Chip Mincy, Mark Smith, Jeff and Don Chestnut, Andrew Happ, Karen Bonds, Rachel Flynn, Canadian Trudeau loving Shirley Strapp. Shirley, and Shirley, I have you know, I used to have a squirrel that used to come up on my deck, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give him peanuts.
Okay.
And he would never take them out of my hand, but he'd get about a foot away from me. If I put him about a foot away from me, mm-hmm. he'd walk over to the deck, grab the peanut.
Well, he's not stupid.
About 3 feet away. Yeah, he just, me and the squirrels get along.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Long, Melissa Montoya, Maja, Shelly Garrett, Timmy.
Yes, the lovely Sherry Garrett of
Ransom Reason Podcast.
Yes, ooh, check it out.
About to get to. Chris Malinsky, Adam McWaters, of course, Ransom Reason Podcast. Paula Kimes, Vanish Podcast, and the Canadian True Crime Podcast. We got Charlie from the Insight Podcast.
And she's also on Death's Door.
In Death's Door. She's doing that with my little...
Your lovely niece, Dominique.
Okay, yeah, let's go with that. Angela Santos, Lydia Wasson-Fisher, Kimberly Stroop, Nicole Adams, Ron Monastero, Tracy Smith, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Cheryl LeBlanc, Weldon, Lady Beverly, of
the
course.
Lovely Lady Beverly.
Chris Lane, mm-hmm. Veronica Moreno, of course, Rudy, the world's most dangerous canine.
Rudy the Wonder Dog.
And the woman, and Dottie, I hope you like this because a lot of people got it. A lot of people had it coming. A lot of people got what was coming to them.
And they died in
and they died in
death.
A gruesome fashion.
Yes.
But the lady that we do this show for, that every show is dedicated to, Dottie Scott.
My mom.
That's
all right,
right,
Colonel. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. And we'll see you next week on History Tweets.
And this week, Timmy.
Uh-huh.
The listeners' IQs didn't drop 3 points because of the influence of the other one.
Because of Brandy wasn't
here.
That's right. We're hoping to have Brandy back next week for your listening pleasure. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Tweets. Bye, everyone.
Good day.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.